Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is a part of a series called Move Now. Life is short. How will we use this short life to make an eternal difference? Making money, getting more stuff, and focusing on me is a dead end that ends when life is over. We choose either the American dream or Christ. And if we choose Christ, we are called to move and act now. We choose to sacrifice our time, our money, our skills to fight injustice and bring hope and blessing to others. We follow Jesus into the world to make it a better place. So get ready to go beyond thinking about making a difference and move now. Wow, there's an incredible story in the Bible about a woman that just exemplifies what we honor today. A woman of incredible character. And I want to look at her to begin because it's a great connection with Mother's Day, with also the message that we're doing. We're in a series called Move Now. And I want, the story actually occurs in Acts chapter 9. This woman's name is Tabitha in the Aramaic language. The Aramaic language was the common language of that day in the area that we now call Palestine. And because the world used Greek as the universal language, her name meant in Greek was Dorcas, and it had a meaning. Her name meant gazelle. And I don't know about you, but when I picture gazelle, I picture this animal full of energy just popping around, you know, and I gotta believe that this woman was like that, that when you were in her presence, she just had such energy to lift you up. And, the reason we have this story in Acts chapter 9 is that, Dorcas, she died. She got sick and she died. She was in a town right near where the apostle Peter was, so they went and got Peter. Peter came and he, through the power of God, he raised her from the dead. An incredible miracle, and that's, of course, why this story is in the Bible. But we can so easily miss an incredible description of this woman. Take a look at Acts chapter 9, verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. Most of the time when we read this story, we skip right over that. She always did good and helped the poor. Here's a woman who didn't see doing good as just an occasional event. This was her lifestyle. She was committed to looking for that and seizing every opportunity to make a difference, to help somebody. In fact, later as Peter's talking to some of the women who were there for her wake, they showed Peter all the robes and the clothes that she made. She spent her life making clothes for people who were in need. And this was her passion. This was her life. And I think she models for all of us the kind of life God wants for us, where we are looking to see the opportunities to do good. God gives us opportunities every single day to do good. Not just an opportunity, multiple opportunities every single day. The problem is we're not looking for them. Or we just miss them. We're not even aware of all these opportunities that happen every single day in every one of our lives where we can do good. And so what I want us to focus on today is how do we begin to have this mindset where we're looking for those opportunities. There's two scriptures that I want us to look at that are incredibly powerful that I think guide us and lead us in this. And the first is by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 9. Listen to how Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit as he writes this, gives us clear instruction. He says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." So there's several key emphases here that Paul gives us. And the first is this. In our developing a lifestyle where we're looking for opportunities to do good, let's not become weary. Let's not give up. You know, sometimes It's easy to give up because we do good to people, but then we never see the results. Or sometimes we do good and we don't get the reaction that we thought we ought to get. We began this series last week, and I challenged all of us to do to make a decision to do some purposeful, intentional act of kindness this past week. And one of them, and they're all listed in your bulletin again this week, one of them was using this little card, "This meal is on us." And the whole idea with this is that you know, you're at a restaurant and you see somebody, you say to the waitress or the waiter, take this card, I want to pay for that person's meal, I'll pay for it, you just tell them that they're being blessed. And so a couple here in our church, after the 11 o'clock service, after service, went to lunch, took the challenge, bought some guy his meal, and he's offended. "I don't need a handout." Oops, it's not supposed to work that way. They're supposed to love this, an act of kindness. Sometimes when we do good, it's not received well. Sometimes when we do good, we don't see the results. And that's why Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up. In time, in God's time, there will be a harvest. There will be results, even if we don't see it in the moment. And so there's this strong encouragement to truly make this a part of our lifestyle. And then the second thing that we see there was Paul writes, he says, as we have opportunity, do good to all people. As we have opportunity. That means, one, we're looking for those opportunities. Two, it means that God will provide those opportunities for us. Now, sometimes those opportunities just pop up. They're unplanned. You know, we'll be somewhere, we'll be in a situation, and all of a sudden, in a moment, there's an opportunity to do good. A kind word, a kind deed for somebody. Sometimes we plan those things. One of the suggestions in your bulletin is to prayer walk around your neighborhood. That's planned. You don't know what's going to happen, but you plan to do at least that much. And as you're walking around your neighborhood praying, you might meet somebody, you might encounter somebody, or you might be praying and God will open up a situation later that gives you that opportunity to do good. We don't have to worry about whether they just pop up or it's planned. Usually it's both that happen. The challenge I took up this week was the God's pocket. Again, it's listed in your bulletin. Monday morning, I put $20 in my pocket. Said, "God, this is your $20. And Monday morning, I said, "God, lead me to a person or persons that you want me to bless with this." So I began the week just looking. When I'd be in a store, at a restaurant, or driving around, the whole week was an incredible experience because I was constantly looking. God, who do you want me to bless? I was going home one day and drove past a bus stop, and I noticed three guys standing there. And this was several days into this. It was the first person or group of people that had caught my attention. And I go, "God, do you want me to stop?" And so I pulled past the bus stop, pulled in the parking lot behind the bus stop, and I went up to these three guys. And frankly, they didn't look like they were dressed very well. Don't know their story in detail. But as I walked up, they were a little bit hesitant because I walked right up to them. You know, in a bus stop, you don't normally walk up and look people in the face. You know, you just kind of stand there if you ever watch, you know, that. So I walk up and I say, "Hey guys, how's it going?" And I entered into a little conversation and I realized the bus is coming. So I got to kind of speed up my conversation a little bit. And I said, "Hey guys, this is God's money. And I want you to have it." And there were three of them. And so I said, "Now look, I'm giving it to all three because that's all I had in my pocket." I said, "Are you guys going to share this?" And they all went, "Yeah." And I go, no. "Are you all going to share this?" "Yeah, we're going to share this." And then I said, "Look, I just want you to be blessed. I want you to know that God loves you. You're blessed." And so the bus comes and as each guy got into the bus, they just said, "Thank you." You know, their whole countenance changed over the course of that time. Now the reason I'm bringing that up is this. When we plan to do good, meaning, "God, I'm going to put this $20 in my pocket," the whole week was different for me because the whole week I was looking for opportunities where I could bless someone. And frankly, had I not done that, I would have driven right by that bus stop, would have never noticed those guys. Now, I don't know what that's going to do to those guys. That's not my responsibility in the long run. It's not that I have to figure out how I help them or how I encourage them. But we look for those opportunities to find ways to bless people with words, with actions. Now, one last thing that Paul said in this passage was, we're to do good to all people, especially the other believers. We can't forget about our own church. We're really good at focusing on people outside the church, and we should. But we also don't want to forget folks right in our church who also need encouragement, an act of kindness, sometimes a little help. And we're just reminded of looking for those opportunities out there and right here as well. Now, there's a second passage that I think addresses this idea of being aware of opportunities in a really great way. And this is written by the Apostle Peter. This is in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 13. In fact, we'll just look at verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That last phrase just reminds us that we're a part of something way bigger than ourselves. But Peter begins by saying, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action. Now, Peter wrote this in the Greek language. That was the universal language of the day. And in the Greek language, that word that's translated prepare is a great word picture that really helps us understand what this really means. In that day, as even in today in the Middle East, many men in traditional dress wear long robes, right? You've seen on TV, you've seen Muslims with the long robes. That's very, very common even today. And so this word prepare in the original language means to gather up your long robe in one arm so that you can run, so that you can engage in battle if you need to, that you can do kind of aggressive kind of work, so that this robe doesn't trip you up and get in your way. A modern version might be kind of, we're going to roll up our sleeves to get to work. This word, in the sense that this translated prepare, has the sense of urgency. Get to work. Get ready to do whatever you need to do. Be prepared. I mean, this is it. You're alert. Ready to seize the moment when God gives us an opportunity to respond to somebody with an intentional act of goodness and kindness. Now, what's strange about what Peter said is he said, our minds are supposed to be ready for action. He says, prepare your minds for action. Why do I need to prepare my mind? Seems like I ought to be preparing my hands and my feet to do something. But Peter, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, knows that before the action comes our thoughts, our attitudes. That with the right attitude, the right perspective, really looking for the opportunities, that then we can actually then be prepared to respond. But if we're not alert, if we're not ready, then we're going to miss the opportunities. They're just going to slip right by us. Day after day, opportunity after opportunity, we'll miss, because our minds weren't prepared, looking for what God is already doing in a situation where we can join Him to make a difference and touch a life. So Peter says, prepare your minds for action. Then he says, be self-controlled. We train ourselves. We train ourselves to look for the good that we can do. And that's why we've been doing this in this series, is asking you to intentionally look for acts and ways that you can touch others' lives, so that we're training ourselves to be alert to what God can and wants to do around us and in our world. Now, last week I introduced a book called by Bruce Wilkinson called You Were Born for This. It's a great book of encouragement that helps us prepare our minds to kind of do this discipline where we're looking for opportunities. And kind of the direction that he takes in this is that if we will look for those opportunities that God gives us, then we have the opportunity to present God's little miracles all throughout our day. And one of the things I like about this book is there's some great stories. By the way, these are available back in the Resource Center. They're $11 if this would be helpful to an encouragement to you. But one of the stories in this book that I really, really like was about a guy named Derek. Derek regularly went to a coffee shop, and one day he went there and he noticed that the barista had a tattoo on her wrist. And just making small talk, he said, "Oh, a nice tattoo." And she immediately hides it. She turns her wrist over. You can tell she's embarrassed. She drops her head, and she sort of mumbles and said, "It's a peacock feather. I sort of don't like to think about it. I'm embarrassed because it represents a stupid decision I made at a particular time in my life." Which, by the way, is a really good warning when you put tattoos on. Just, it's going to be with you for a while. He got his coffee, went home that night and did a little Google search. Peacock feathers. And discovered that peacock feathers are symbols of beauty, compassion, prosperity, and peace. So he wrote a little thank you card. In the card, he just said, "Thank you for your gracious, courteous service." He wrote a scripture verse in there. And then he said, "By the way, did you know that a peacock feather stands for, these things?" Next time he went to the coffee shop, he gave the barista the thank you card. And she received it. He took his coffee, went home. Then the next time, he came back. And as soon as he came in the door, she sees him and she calls him to the counter. And with tears in her eyes, she says, "No one has ever done anything like you did for me." And then she pulled her wrist out. And that gray peacock feather had now become vibrant in color. She had it redone in all of these vibrant colors. And underneath it, she wrote the verse that was in that card. We love because he first loved us. A simple act of kindness took a person from a place of shame to a place of hope. He talked about how from that day on, he only saw her smiling and that her whole countenance had been transformed. To this day, he doesn't know the details of the story. But that simple act of kindness made a difference. Does that mean it'll always work out that way? No. Our job isn't the results. Our job is to be faithful to God and responding in goodness and kindness in tangible ways that touches the life and makes a difference. When I introduced our teaching series last week, I used a passage of scripture from Ephesians. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And I asked us to memorize it. Anybody here memorize it or attempt to memorize it? Come on, a few hands. There's a couple hands. All right, next week you're going to be tested. No, not really. But I really want you to do this. And here's why. When I ask us to memorize scripture, it's because there's a powerful thing that happens there. When God's word is on our heart, inside of us, the Holy Spirit is also active and takes God's word and that's one of the ways that God transforms us from the inside out. And this verse is so powerful. We are God's workmanship. Do you believe that? You don't? We're God's workmanship. He's doing something in us. He's creating us. In fact, it goes on to say, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What? To do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared in advance good works for us to do. And as we were created in Christ Jesus, we become more and more like him in our attitude and in our actions. And we represent him and we represent him in our good works. That's what God is calling us to do. We are the eyes of Jesus. We are to see the opportunities that God is preparing for us. We are the mouth, the ears, the hands, the feet of Jesus that do those acts that help encourage and bless others. He's dependent upon us to be his presence that's so clear to people in this world. And that is our purpose. That's what we are called to do. And so we end our messages with, so what? So what is where the rubber hits the road? What do we do? Having heard God's encouragement and God's word, what do we do? So again, I want you to take out your bulletins and turn to the middle of your bulletins. You'll see there's five colored areas there. These represent five areas where we can serve, where we can do good. Under each one are 3 to 5 specific examples. And I hope over 400 of us last week committed to do different kinds of acts of goodness. And if you did that last week, I want you to do another this week, because we're trying to train ourselves. We're trying to discipline ourselves to make this a lifestyle. If you had good intentions and were going to do something last week and forgot, pick it up again and do it this week. Out in the outdoor basketball court, there's 5 tables. Each has a balloon. The color represents these areas. You can go there and you can pick up the resources. Like if you want to do this Meals on Us, those cards are out there. If you have stuff to bring back from last week, you can go out there. If you have questions, go on out there. And not only that, in each of those tables, there's a sheet that has even more ideas than are listed here. You know, you look through and you go, none of these grab me. I want you to go out there, because on those sheets we have even a bunch more ideas of some ways that you can truly make a difference and touch a life in our world. Folks, it comes down to this. We got to have a mindset. We've got to be prepared. We've got to desire and really want to do good, because God gives us innumerable opportunities every day. Let's not miss them. Let's experience life the way God wants us to, where we truly experience blessing because we're able to bless others. And we'll never be able to outgive God in this. That's the cool thing. As we give, He'll provide more opportunities and the ability to do that. I want to challenge us to have that mindset. Our minds prepared, not giving up, not growing weary, constantly looking for ways to do good for others. Now, next week, we're going to finish this series, Move Now. And I don't want you to miss next week, because we're going to do something that I don't know that very many churches have ever done. Next week, we're going to give money away. Now, I'm not doing that just to increase attendance next week, because this money is not to go in your pocket. But I want you to join us next week, because we want to give away $25,000 to do good. Now, last service, somebody said, nuh-uh. Yeah, we are. No, actually, that's not the case. Because I'm going to ask you to match it. For every dollar we give you, I want you to match it. So actually, next week, I want us to give away $50,000. I'm going to ask you to invest in somebody around the world where your investment in their life can help them help themselves. You know the old adage, you can give somebody a fish for today and feed them and that's it, or you can teach them how to fish for a lifetime. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So I want you to be here. We've got all of the details worked out. We're going to explain it in a very clear way. And each and every one of us are going to have this opportunity to be able to truly make a difference in the life of somebody else. So you don't want to miss next week. This is an important part of this, how we respond to the opportunities God gives us to move now to make a difference. In just a moment, we're going to take communion. I love that we do it every week. It never gets old. Because what we do in communion is we remember the one who loved us so fully and completely, who sought our best, who did the very best good that could ever be done in offering the sacrifice of His Son Jesus. And that's what the cup of juice and the piece of bread remind us of. God's incredible goodness and mercy that brought us into a relationship with God Himself. And God held nothing back. And so as we partake of communion, that's what we remember. God never gave up. He never stops loving us. He never stops wanting to bless us. If you're new here, in just a moment, the communion servers will pass the tray, take the cup and the bread. It's open to anybody who's a follower of Jesus. Pass the tray to the next person and then partake when you're ready, as you've had a time to talk with God. After that, we kind of did something different this week. We moved our offering to earlier, and we'll get that done. I just want to remind you that's how we're going to do that. We'll do our offering during the early part of the worship here at Elements. If you missed it somehow, there'll be folks in the back that can help you. But I want to remind you this about when you give. Giving is one of the ways that we do good. And when you give to Pantano Christian Church, you're doing a lot of good, because together we are making a difference here in Tucson and all over the world. Sometimes it's hard to give. Bills, those are challenging. Sometimes legitimate needs we have just are pressing on us. But remember what Paul said, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't give up. Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, we are so aware that you held nothing back in providing us our greatest good, that you forgave our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus, that you made that available to all people. God, as we reflect on your incredible mercy, God, help us to have hearts that are transformed, that seek to do good. Use us to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.